Okay, it's chus to be back together again to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, and more so to prepare for Shabbos, prepare for very hilly yontif that we'll get to in a moment. But first, just want to always thank Julia first of all for all that she does to make sure this year happens, as far as making the poster and getting out the word. And also tonight the year is sponsored by someone very special, one sponsored anonymously. Just as a hoizul Hashem ki tov ki leilum chasto, just to give hakar satov to Rabbeinu Shalom. Although we should always be zolche, just to give shevach and odah to Rabbeinu Shalom. That should be our whole entire interaction with Rabbeinu Shalom, Bez Hashem, is parach for everybody. And he should have only simcha and brach in his life. The schus of all the Torah and all the chizik, all the soiris. There's a very famous story that occurred in 1923 on Lag BaOmer, or the day after Lag BaOmer, in Meron. It was Lag BaOmer, and already then and forever. So many went to the kever of Rashbi, of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and this Heilig Yontif to daven, to dance. That year, Lag BaOmer was on a Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and a lot of people stayed there for Shabbos as well. And a mother brought her child, her young son, to Meron for his chalaka, where he was 3 years old, and he was going to have his hair cut for the first time, that initiation into chinuch, a very beautiful minog that we have. And she brought him, and he was there, and Lag BaOmer. And unfortunately, there was some sort of pandemic that was going around, and her son got very, very sick. And sadly, a very big tragedy. And her three-year-old son, Mamish, passed away on Shabbos, the day after Lag BaOmer, but right there in Meron. And obviously she was destroyed and couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe what was going on. You come, Lag BaOmer, with her son. And she takes her three-year-old son, who passed away. Mamish was a British doctor there, checked, with nothing to do. And she goes in by the kever, and she starts screaming and yelling and crying, and screaming, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the neshama Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, how could this happen? How could you do this? And she takes her three-year-old son and puts her three-year-old son down on the floor. And she leaves, and everybody leaves with her. And everybody's outside the kever. And minutes later, they hear crying from inside the kever and screams for mommy. And mommy is a mice of tchisa mason. And there are many accounts of this and people who were there who saw this, who witnessed this. It's tchisa mason that occurred Lag BaOmer in 1923, 100 years ago almost. And the truth is, that's what Lag BaOmer is, man of tchisa mason in a certain sense. Beruchnius and even Begashmius. And yes, it's true, we've been mentioning Lag BaOmer. This year has some level of confusion. It's a little bit hard after what happened last year, Lag BaOmer. On one hand, it's this big yontiv, the yartzer of Shimon Bar Yochai, and so much that we're going to talk about. On the other hand, how can we not? Our hearts go out and can't stop thinking, haven't stopped thinking for an entire year of the 45 Kedoshim. That is the Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us, and we've mentioned this many times, that a Yid has to have two hearts. Alevavchem, in plural, we say in Shema. And there's a heart that feels the pain and suffering of Klal Yisrael, and a heart that understands that the Rabbeinu Shalom is by our side and is able to still simultaneously have Simcha. And like BaOmer is a Yantiv, the Yantiv that we have to be the Simcha, and Yantiv that we have to connect to. Well, we never forget what occurred. I'm never, for a moment, move away, and our hearts should always be with those families and those kedoshim. But let's try to understand tonight a little bit about Lag BaOmer and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and why it is that there's such an emphasis on Lag BaOmer. We have many, many tzaddikim, many big tzaddikim over the years. Seemingly, we're taught maybe, and we think even bigger tzaddikim. Perhaps. One would think. Yet we don't have a hilula. We don't have this rejoicing of the yahrzeit of any other tzaddik the way we do by Rashbi, by any other tzaddik. Only Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Recently, Rav Shaya a little bit. Not for now, but you know, because anywhere you could go is going to give you free food on Rav Shaya's yahrzeit, right? Everyone saw it. Okay, for another time. But really, it's Rashbi. It's really Lag BaOmer. And then those focus and say, no, it's not about Rashbi. Not only about Rashbi. It's also, as we know, the day when Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. And we're no longer in that Avelis. They stopped dying because they were all dead. It's not like, oh, there were many Talmidim and they were dying and suddenly they stopped and there were many that were alive so we could rejoice and Baruch Hashem. They all died. So that's a zman to be rejoicing and singing and dancing. Maybe to stop the Avelis, but not a Yontif if they all died. What is this day about? What is this celebration? What is the Simcha of Lag BaOmer? HaBa'olein L'Toyva this upcoming Wednesday night. So first, we have to understand Rashbi was a tzaddik on levels that we can't even comprehend. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, this day represents it, the day of his yahrzeit is not just a day where he passed away. It's a day that connects to him. A day in a certain way where we were given for all of eternity, all of his kofos, because that was the day that he told his Talmidim to write over the Zohar, write over the deepest Torah that came from him that we have today because of that day. And what are some of the statements in the Zohar about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? I'll read to you in Parshas Bo. The Pasuk says, and the Pasuk's talking about being Ola Regel, Yere'ek Kol Zechor Cha Es Penei Adon Hashem. That everyone should see the face of Hashem to be Ola Regel. And what does the Zohar says? Man Penei Adon Hashem. Who is the Penei Adon Hashem? Da Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It sounds like the audacity of such a statement, but we have to understand, therefore, there's something very chashuv. If it's equating on some level whatever this means, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai with God himself, that we see Pnei Adon Hashem, Do Rav Shimon, that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is, he would emulate, and he was a Tzelem Elokim. He's Pnei Adon Hashem. With his Zohar and Parshas Naso, what's the holiest day of the year? Most of the year we have this chus to have every week, because Shabbos Kodesh, right? And there's a Zohar and Parshas Naso, Rav Yehuda Kari Le Shabbos. The Chulu Shiso, my name is Barchim. Just like all bracha comes from Shabbos, they would refer to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai as Shabbos, as all bracha comes from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Arizal says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was a Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Moshe Rabbeinu brought us Torah, the Torah's Nigla, the revealed Torah, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai brought us Torah's Nister, the hidden Torah. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was on a madrega, a level that we can't even comprehend. You know what's amazing? I'll give you a little inkling, even though we're not going to get into the depth of this right now. We know, and if you've looked in your siddur when you've counted Omer, every day of Sfiras Omer corresponds to a mido within each and every one of us, the Zayin Midos, which are entangled with each other. So you have a day chesed shebe chesed shebe tiferes, netzach shebe sod, right? Netzach shebe hod, netzach shebe yisod. Maybe we've seen people sending out different explanations of what this means. These are very deep Kabbalistic ideas. And the idea is that each day of Sfiras, even if we don't comprehend the depth of each of those, each day of Sfiras Omer is a day to work on ourselves and to grow in the various midos that we have, the various character traits that make up each and every one of us. What's the day of Lag BaOmer? The day of Lag BaOmer is Hod Sheva Hod. The day of Lag BaOmer is Hod Sheva Hod. What is Hod Sheva Hod? There are a lot of definitions of Hod. Hod could be Melashon Hoda, to give our Karsa Tov. Hod is a certain beauty. But Al Pi Kabbalah, Hod Sheva Hod is actually, believe it or not, the lowest level of all these midos. The lowest of them all. Even though Yisod and Malchus, in a certain sense, are underneath that, are after this. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus, that's the order. But Yisod and Malchus, even though they're lower on the totem pole, All of their kochos come from the higher realms and the higher levels of midos, so they incorporate them. Hod is like the lowest. In fact, and here's Hod Sheva Hod, it's all Hod. In fact, the midos correspond to different parts of our body. The Hod is the left leg, which is like the lowest part of the body in a certain sense. Just, it's the lowest there is. Why is that? So let's understand that. Let's try to start bringing this together to understand. And what was the greatness of Rabbi Shimon? There were many big tzaddikim over the years. There are big tzaddikim that gave us so much. There are big tzaddikim that gave us Torah, that inspired generations. But you know what it is? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, somehow, if you've ever been in Meron, whether it be like Bomer or another time, every type of Jew, Jews that are Kodesh Kedashim, keeping Torah mitzvahs on the highest level, Jews that are not there yet, let's just say, are all inspired to somehow connect to the tzaddik of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Hod Sheva Hod is the lowest, that to tell us that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has an effect and an influence even on the lowest of individuals. And that means even the lowest part within each and every one of us, and we all have areas that we need to be talking. The Hod Sheva Hod in within each and every one of us are those areas that need to be lifted up. And Rashbi can help us in those areas. Why is that? Let me explain. The way that the Rishmul of Slanim explains, once we saw all these Makoros, how great the Rashbi is, you know, the greater the light, the more it can penetrate. If we understand Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is a level of Pnei Adon Hashem, is a Shabbos, is Moshe Rabbeinu, that light of Rav Shimon is so great that it could even penetrate the darkest of places. Within every Jew and within every person. But why is that? Where does that come from? So we said he's a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's first talk about Moshe a little bit, and then we'll come back to understand Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. What was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was his greatness? Moshe, okay, putting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to the side, because we're discussing him tonight. If one was going to analyze the history of the Jewish nation, and one was going to try to figure who was the greatest tzaddik of all time, the greatest leader of all time, I think most people would point to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu brought us the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu brought us out of the tribe. Yet, what was his greatness? We've said this over many times over the years. If you want to understand any person, you have to look at their shame, at their name. The name of every individual finds their essence. So what was the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? Where do we find his essence? Now what's incredible is, there's a medrash, that our Moshe Rabbeinu actually had 10 names. Which actually makes sense. Because if he's so great, he needed so many names to bring out all of his kochos. Very beautiful names. Yered was the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. He brought down the Torah. Chiber, to attach. He attached us to Hashem. Yet of all the names, what do we call Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe. Now where did he get that name? From Bati Bas Paro, you all know that. So an Egyptian princess gave him the name that we actually call him. Interesting to begin with. And what does that name mean? You all know it from Parshas Shemos. Ki min hamayim mishisil. Mishisil, that she pulled him in from the water. Of all the names of Moshe Rabbeinu, of all of his greatness, and there are many others, we can go through all of them. Avigdor, he was the father of Gedar. He set up fences to protect our Avodas Hashem. Of all the names, the name that talks about how Batya pulled him from water, that seems to be about Batya, not even about him at all. Why is that the name that we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu? That we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Most people don't even know his other names. Of all the great names, and if your name is your essence, of all the names, the name that Batya gave him that talks about her pulling him in, like really? Why? So Reb Chaim Sholevitz gives the most beautiful idea. Reb Chaim Sholevitz explains that when Batya Bas Paro pulled Moshe Rabbeinu in from the water, it was of the greatest acts of chesed of all of history. Here was somebody, let's remember, her own father made a decree that every Jewish baby boy
should be killed.
She knew this was, the Pasuk says it explicitly, when he was crying, when Arbocha, she saw that it was Me'ivri, it was a Jewish baby. She goes against her own father's decree to save this Jewish baby. She thereby risks her life completely to save this Jewish baby. She risks her life completely to save this Jewish baby. She's not just doing, she's not just, not just an act of chesed. It's an act of mesiras nefesh, of self-sacrifice. Doing for another, putting yourself on the line. The ultimate chesed. That was that act of minamayim v'shisiyu. And Reb Chaim Shalevitz in Sichas Musar explained so beautifully based on Psukim that when one end, and the Chazal, that when one acts on someone in a particular way, that becomes part of that individual as well. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, in his earliest of days, was saved by Ba'ya with utmost Mesiras Nefesh, that became his essence. He became that same individual that is willing to put himself on the line for another, risk himself for another, be there for others always. In fact, if you look in the very next pasuk, when it talks about, I don't have a chumash in front of me, but after Minamayim, you see the very next pasuk that he got, he grew older, and that's where he went out to his brothers, Vayarbis of Losam, he saw their burdens. That's where Chazal teach us, he went and he saw the Jews working, and he went and he's the prince of Egypt, and he went and helped them. And he sees a Jew being hit by the Mitri, he goes and kills the Mitri, even though that put himself at risk and had to run away now. Right away. And that was who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was that same act, just like Ba'ya with Moshe Nefesh to save him, that became part of him. And we called him Moshe because that's who he was, an individual, forgetting about for a moment all his Torah and all his Ruchnias and his Ba'ach. He had the ability to have a Nevuah with the Ribbono Shel Olam on the highest of levels, but Klari Meira, for a conversation with God, all that is secondary to his will and desire and ability to give to others with Mesiras Nefesh. And that's what the name Moshe represents. And when one puts others above themselves, one cares about others more than even themselves, that's when you can influence another Jew, another person. That's when you could lift up another person. That's when you could be mechazik another person. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. That's why he was the greatest leader in history. And let's remember, Rav Shem Bar Yochai was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll get back to that. And it's the same koach. I was learning this and preparing this. I was thinking about a story shared once before, for sure. But I think it exemplifies this almost more than any other story I've ever heard. There was a year, I'm sure you all heard of, Rav Shlomo Karbach. It can't go a Shabbos when we don't sing songs from Rav Shlomo Karbach, the greatest composer of the previous generation, of the greatest composers of Jewish music in history, who was also Makariv thousands and thousands of Jews, literally. There's a famous story. Shlomo Karbach was going to be Lag BaOmer as well, Lag BaOmer, in the 1970s. And in Buffalo, New York, they were going to have a concert, right? But Lag BaOmer is a big night to have concerts. We can't have music until then. We're excited. They were supposed to have a musician, Moshe Yes, be the musician at this concert. Moshe Yes is a well-known musician. Unfortunately, he passed away. He wrote some songs that you probably know, like Ninth Man on the Team, right? About the Rebbe who played baseball with his Talmidim and some other songs. This is an old school Marvelous Midos Machine. He had a few songs there. I'm a Hippopotamus, maybe some of the Chevron knows. He was supposed to be the performer. Something happened, that he was sick or something, he couldn't perform. They found this out only a few days before the concert they're supposed to have. But they already sold a lot of tickets and they want to have the concert. So last minute they said, you know what, we'll try Rav Shlomo Karbach. He's probably booked already.
But why not give him a call? They call Rav Shlomo. And Rav Shlomo was supposed to perform somewhere else. But somehow that got canceled. He actually was available. And he said, I'd love to come. It's the Buffalo, New York. He says, how much are you paying? So they're paying, they were going to pay Moshe, yes, like $700. I'm getting this in the 1970s. Rav Shlomo says, listen, I'll tell you the truth. It's not about the money, but I usually receive a few thousand dollars for a concert. And the truth is, you know, I'm a few months late on some of my rent. I could, you know, could you do better? And they say to Rav Shlomo, listen, if you come, we're going to sell a lot more tickets. We're not in this for the profit. We just want to have a beautiful night like Boimer. Whatever profit we make, whatever we make on the concert, it's all yours. And I'm sure it'll be a few thousand dollars, don't worry. Rav Shlomo agrees. He comes to this concert, it's an incredible concert. When you get a concert, it wasn't your standard, you know, hour and a half concert and like two encore songs. It was like an experience. He was teaching, he was singing, it was like all night long. It would go till 3 a.m. sometimes. And he gives this incredible concert. At the end of the concert, everyone's coming over and hugging him and thanking him. The president of the shul, who he spoke to on the phone, he comes over and he thanks him so much. What an incredible evening. And he gives him a wad of cash. He says, this is what we agreed upon. It's all yours. $2,700. $2,700. And Shlomo is thankful. Thank you so much. I could pay the rent I own. This is incredible. A few minutes later, this yid comes over to him and thanks him for the concert and says, Rav Shlomo, could you give me a bracha for Shalom Bayis? Shlomo looks at him, what do you need a bracha for Shalom Bayis? What's wrong? Tell me, my older brother. He says to Rav Shlomo, I had the happiest marriage, a wonderful marriage, but we weren't religious. And slowly, thank God, through Chabad, we became religious. And about a year ago, we started keeping Shabbos. And it's beautiful, it's wonderful. This was the early 1970s in Buffalo, New York, but because of that, I lost my job. And I've been struggling, it's been very hard to get a job. And because of our financial difficulties, we've had a lot of fights recently. And it's very hard. So give me a bracha, Shalom Bayis. Rav Shlomo Par Karabach, he looks in this man's eyes, this man that he met 5 minutes ago. And he says to him, listen, I don't know what my bracha will do for you. I'm no one so special. I'm not going to give you a bracha. But I want to help you. And he takes every penny that he was just given for this concert, $2,700. Every penny that he himself needed desperately. And he hands it to this man that he met 5 minutes ago. An act of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not just helping another Jew. You know, if he would have given him $100, that's awesome, right? $200. No, he said, this man needs this money more than I do. I'm going to do for him. Even if I'm going to get hurt, I'll figure it out. To give of oneself in such a way. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. The Beis Aaron of Karlin used to say, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaKol Af Rav Shimon Bar Yochai LaKol. Just like Hashem is there for everyone, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is there for everyone. Ho Shabbaho, the day of Lag BaOmer, which represents the lowest of lows, because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, with all his kedush and all his ruchnias, with the Gilgul, was a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then you see every type of Jew coming on Lag BaOmer to me in Ron, because every single Jew feels a closeness, because feels the love that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had for every Jew. And when you have that love and you feel that love, your influence, then you could change. Where do we see that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had this? Let me explain. It's actually the Gemara, the famous Gemara about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which unbelievably is on the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel. You can't make this stuff up. Daf Lamed Gimel Mepes. And the Gemara tells a story. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm not going to read through the whole Gemara, but I have it here. How Rav Shimon Bar Yochai basically is a story how there was a discussion. Rabbi Yehuda made a statement about the Romans. How beautiful and wonderful are their work, that they make marketplaces and they make bridges and they make bathhouses. He praised the Roman government.
Rabbi Yossi was quiet, didn't say a word. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, what are you praising? Really? They make marketplaces for themselves so they can be involved in promiscuous activities in the marketplaces. Their bathhouses so they can enjoy pleasure. Their bridges is so they can go over the bridge to collect taxes. It's all about themselves. They don't care about us. Why are we praising them? This conversation somehow made its way to the Roman government. And because of the statement of Shem Bar Yochai, they wanted to kill him. And he first runs away to the Beis Medrash, and he's sitting and learning there, and his wife is bringing him food. But eventually he realizes it's not going to work, they're going to find him there. And that's when famously Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the son of Elazar, they run away and they hide in the cave, in the Ma'ara, as we all know very famously. And we know they hide in this cave, and miraculously there's a charev tree, a carob tree that grows, and there's a little stream that forms, and they have water, and they have food, and Rabbi Yisrael takes care of them. And they're learning day and night with Eliyahu HaNavi, covering themselves all day in sand, so they only put on their clothing to daven, so it would stay fresh and not get worn out. It's an amazing story. And they're first there 12 years. And finally, Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he screams from outside and he says, the emperor has died, it's safe to come out. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son leave, and we all know famously what happens. They see people that are working, farmers. They've been learning Torah 24/7 for the past 12 years. And they can't imagine that there are people involved in worldly pursuits. And they say to themselves, where's the Lashon? These people are leaving a life of eternity and involved in, you know, like a physical life that's momentary. How could it be? And kol makom shenoisnim einayim yad nisraf. Anywhere they looked, they burnt up. They started burning up everybody. And a baskol came out and said to him, you're destroying my world. Go back in the cave. And they go back in the cave for 12 more months. And they say the following. Why 12 months? Omri, they say, Mishpat Rishayim Begahenim Yud Beis Chodesh. The judgment again for any person is up to 12 months. So that must be what we need to do. We deserve judgment like Gehenim. We're going back in for 12 months. They come out. Still, Shimon's son is still burning up, but he's healing everything. And eventually, everything works out, and they realize you could be Makadish Lechol. They see a Yid bringing Hadassim for Shabbos, and they realize you could use the physical for spiritual. A very beautiful Gemara. And they're no longer burning up the world. They themselves said, we have to go into Gehenna for 12 months, basically. Why do they make such a statement? Why do they make such a statement? Because they themselves realize this can't be what it's about. If it's all about this angelic relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and I can't look at another Yid without burning him up and judging him, I need to go to Gehenna. I need to go to the low. I don't deserve to be in this world. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went back and learned what it was to be there for every Yid, to not judge another Yid, to care about every Yid, to see the beauty in every Yid. The way Moshe Rabbeinu did, and be willing to be there for every Yid. And that's how he came out, and that's why specifically his day is Hoyd Shebahod. That's his day. And that's why he's there for every Jew. But that's the type of person, that's what we have to walk away from. This Yom Tov Lag BaOmer, therefore, is a celebration of that Achdus V'Reis. The Talmidim of Akiva died, as we all know, Shelo Nagu Kovaz Al Zeh. And they needed this punishment, even though we can't comprehend on what levels they deserve that. But ultimately, therefore, our focus is Kovaz Al Zeh. And that ends on Lag BaOmer. Meaning like Lomer is the turning point. Yes, it's true they all died out. We're not celebrating that they stopped dying. We're celebrating Shemot Nagu Kavaz Elzeh is over. It's time to care about every Jew in the deepest of ways. The way Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did, who was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his essence. That's a tzaddik. Let me share with you another story of Lag BaOmer to understand this. I heard this story many years ago from Rav Moshe Weinberger. And you'll understand that every word is true because the story is about him. Rav Weinberger, when he was just married, so he went to learn in Eretz Yisrael, like so many do. And he went to learn in Gros Kolo, in Bayit HaGad, those who had the schus to study Mechala or will, right next door. That's where he was learning. His Rebbetzin, just married, exciting time in one's life. And it was Lag BaOmer. So where is he going to go, Lag BaOmer? He says, what a schus, he's in Eretz Yisrael, of course he's going to go to Meron. Then he goes to Meron, to daven, to dance, to be one with Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is there for us, and we can feel that, and be elevated by that. Ma'akadosh Baruch lakol, af Reb Shimon lakol. And there are many people there, as we know. And suddenly he sees, like, hundreds of people in like a Kriyas Yamsuf, like everyone's moving out of the way and making a path. And a car was coming up to the top of the hill. The cars weren't allowed up to the top of the hill by the Kever, by the Ma'aro. All the cars have to stop at the bottom. You have to walk up if you've ever been. Any cars that come up are VIP. Prestigious individuals and generally big tzaddikim. And he's able to see that the tzaddik who's coming up is the Kal of a Rebbe, Zeches Tzaddik HaShemracha now. The Kal of a Rebbe was the tzaddik who I had the schus to be by many times. The Kal of a Rebbe was a survivor of the Holocaust. I'm sure you've all seen pictures of the Kal of a Rebbe. He's the one Hasidic Rebbe that you'd see who, with the beautiful panim, a beautiful aura, a beautiful shining face, with long white payas and no beard. So it really stands out. The reason he had no beard, unfortunately, was because Mengele did terrible, horrible acts and came to talk about to him. He was not able to grow a beard. He dedicated a lot of his life to teaching about the Holocaust and had books put out and different things. An incredible human being. So he sees in the car, he was able to see that the Kal of a Rebbe is in the passenger seat by this car coming up the hill. And he says to him, Lag BaOmer night, this very special night. He has to get a bracha from the Kal of a Rebbe. Specifically for who? At the time, Weinberger had a sister-in-law who was married for many years and unfortunately did not have any children yet. Was suffering fertility issues, and so he wanted to get a bracha specifically for her on Lag BaOmer night from the Tzaddik. So he said he had a little bit of chutzpah, and he decided you do what you got to do to get to the bracha. And he literally went over and got his way through to the car. And the Rebbe was still in the car, and he literally went right by the Rebbe, and he knocked on the window of the car. First he wrote like a little kvittel, he wrote the name and what he was asking for, and he knocks on the window of the car. And the Rebbe lowered the window. In those days, I don't know if you even know from this, they had like crank it, you know, it wasn't mamish, not even power, you know. But the Rebbe lowered the window. And he gives the Rebbe this kvittel, this piece of paper with the name and what the bracha, and the Rebbe looks at him, he looks up and he gives him a bracha. The whole interaction was about 30 seconds, amongst 100,000 people in Lag BaOmer. He felt very good, he got a bracha for his sister-in-law. Two, three years later, Rav Weinberger is back in America. This was before he was still not the Rav in Esh Kodesh. Maybe his first or one of his first jobs, he was a Rebbe in Ezra Academy. Ezra Academy is a school in Queens. It deals a lot with Kiruv, in the Sephardic community, very beautiful place. And he's a Rebbe there. And he heard that the Kal of a Rebbe came to America.
I remember when this happened. This was probably close to 30 years ago. And I remember when he came. I grew up in Cedars. And I remember the Kal Rebbe came to the Five Towns for Shabbos. And I still remember as a young boy when he came to Shal Shudis, to Yagizr Lar Cedars. In fact, the first time when I got older and I appreciated who he was, I went to see him. I reminded him, we were talking about that time. And I told him, I still remember the niggun that he taught us. We were singing it together at his house. It was very, very special. About Shabbos Kodesh. So Rav Weinberger wanted to bring his Talmidim. Listen, the story of Mamash, you understand what a tzaddik is and who each and every one of us has to live up to be, and specifically, like Bo'eimer, and to be a Rav Shimba Yechai Dekiyed, or Moshe Rabbeinu Dekiyed. So Rav Weinberger wants to bring his Talmidim to meet the Rebbe, to get a bracha from the Rebbe. So he gets the Gabbai's number. And he makes an appointment. And he's so excited. And he brings him and tell him to meet him who this person is. Just a survivor. Every survivor is Kodesh Kodashim, right? If you have a relationship or you see a survivor, you should get a bracha immediately. And the Kal Rebbe was a survivor. And he brings his Talmidim and they go in and they walk in. And the Rebbe sees Rav Weinberger. And the Rebbe right away, without Rav Weinberger saying a word, he looks at him. He says, "Nu, has your sister-in-law had a baby yet?" And Rav Weinberger was blown away. It was a 30-second interaction on the hilltop of Meron, Lag BaOmer night, 2-3 years prior. And this is what the Rebbe says to him when he sees him. They didn't have any kasher, they didn't have any relationship besides that. And Rav Weinberger first says, actually, Baruch Hashem, she has. She's had a child, Baruch Hashem, about a year ago already. And then Rav Weinberger looks at the Rebbe and in a respectful way says, "Rebbe, how does the Rebbe remember? How does the Rebbe remember it?" And the Kal Rebbe looks at Rav Weinberger and he says to him, "What do you mean? I've been davening for her every single day since." And then the Rebbe said to Rav Weinberger, like in a little bit of a joke, "You couldn't have told me that you had a baby." That's a tzaddik. Somebody who meets another yid, 30 seconds, and here is the pain and suffering. So what does he do? He's davening for that person every single day. Somebody he doesn't know. Somebody he doesn't have a relationship with in a deep way. But I care about every yid. I care about every person. I'm there for them. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, that was Rav Shimba Yochai. That's why Rav Shimon Yochai, he at first wasn't. And he went back in the cave to learn that midah. And to be that person. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu l'kol af Rav Shimon l'kol. And that's when the Rebbein Hashem wants to be by our side. That's when we're so connected to Rebbein Hashem, when we're there for each other in such a way. When we live up to be that type of person, that type of individual. I don't know how many listened to last week's 5-minute vart, but just as a chazara, because it's such a beautiful yisoy. Last week's parasha, we had the pasuk of Rabbi Akiva, which are these days as well, and the pasuk of care, of empathy, of sympathy, of being there for others. Love your friend as yourself. But how's the pasuk end? That's not where the pasuk ends. Everyone knows those words. Amar Rav Akiva, v'avdei chachmocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. It ends, ani Hashem. V'avdei chachmocha, ani Hashem. What are those words doing there? I am God. What's that to do with anything? You ever think about it? Like, really? Ani Hashem shkoyach. Yeah, we know ani Hashem. But why are those words there? Rav Shtrol of Rizhin, the Rizhin Rebbe, says the most beautiful idea. He says, imagine there were two friends who deeply loved each other. Av and Reyes lived far away from each other. One of the friends found out that the other friend, he did something in his country, was accused of doing something in his country. This was in the 1500s, and Echreisnish, the king, decided a decree that he has to be put to death. And he's going to do it in the town square in front of everyone publicly. And everyone could come watch. He wanted everyone to watch. It's a deterrent, it's an accusation. But the friend knew that it's not true, it can't be. He knew his friend so well, it was just a false accusation, a blood libel. So he comes to be there by his friend's side, and he goes into the town square, and they're about to literally hang his friend. And he goes to the general who's in charge, and he tells him, "You can't kill him. It wasn't him who did this. I'm the one who did this. I did it. You could kill me." Now the general doesn't know what to do. Who's he kill? So he decides he has to put everything on pause. He has to go discuss it with the king. So he brings both of the friends to the king and tells the king the dilemma. And the king asks the first guy whom you're about to kill, "Were you the one who did this?" He says, "No, I wasn't the one who did this. I told you, I didn't do it." He turns to this new guy that came, the friend. He says, "Did you do this?" He says, "No, I didn't do it either. But you said you did it. You said you wanted to kill you. So let me explain. I know my friend so well, and I love my friend so much. I know 100% there is no way he did this. It's a false accusation. And I can't just stand by and watch him be killed. And I'd rather take my own life than watch my friend be killed. I won't be able to live with myself watch my friend be killed. So I'd rather you take my life. But I didn't do it, and he didn't do it." The king looks to the first friend. He says, "Okay, you know what? He's willing to take your spot. We're going to kill him instead. Well, it's no problem." The first friend says, "No way. Kill me. I can't stand by and watch him be killed innocently. My friend, I can't do it. You kill me." The king looks at these two friends. He says, "I'm pattering both of you. You're both free to go. You're both free to go. But only on one condition. If you both take me as your third friend. The love you have for each other is so deep and so special. I want to be a part of this. If I could be a part of this, I'm with you now. And you're both good." The Rishonim says, "V'haftar l'yecha kamocha, love your friend of yourself, ani Hashem." And if you love your friend of yourself, you have such ahava, such love, then I'm going to be the Hashem that's going to be by your side. I want to be with you as well. I want to be together with you. So before we walk into Shavuos, we have 49 days to grow, 49 days to work on ourselves, 49 days of Kabbalah Satorah. But these are days to primarily, and we've spoken about this already, and to work on our Kavod Zelzeh, to work on our care for each other. And that's why in the midst of it all, we have this incredible Yom Tov of Lag Bomer. And this Yom Tov Lag Bomer we understand now is a Yom Tov specifically, yes, of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Because that's a celebration when we have a Yid who was there for us in such a way, just like a Moshe Rabbeinu. And to be mechazik us in this area, that we should be there for each other, that we should put others above ourselves. And then we'll be ready to walk into Kabbalah Satorah. V'yichin Yisrael neged har k'ishecha v'levecha was the prerequisite. Because Kabbalah Satorah is not just Hashem giving us the Torah. As we know, it's a symbolism of our marriage with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our oneness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that Torah is that constant relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When does Hashem give that to us? Once He sees we're there for each other throughout the days of Sefirot HaOmer, and specifically the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer. Then we could go into that marriage. Then we could go into that Heilig Yom Tov of Shavuos and receive that Torah and receive that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ani Hashem. As we know, that's the first of the Esaret HaDivros. Anoich Hashem Elokecha. You showed me during these days of Sefira, and during the day of Lag BaOmer, of V'haftar L'yecha Kamocha, then Anoich Hashem Elokecha. Asher Tzitzicha Me'er Sosrayim. Then Ani Hashem. Then I'm going to be there by your side. If we could follow in the footsteps of a Moshe Rabbeinu, we follow in the footsteps of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We follow in the footsteps of Rav Shlomo Karbach and of the Kal of Rebbe, Zeicher Tzadik HaShavarach. Big Jews. These are big Jews. That's the definition of a tzaddik.
They're Talmidei Chacham. They're people who have tremendous Torah knowledge. People are very righteous individuals in many, many ways. You know what a tzaddik or tzaddik is? Is one who gives of themselves 24/7 for others. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, that was Reb Shimon, that was Reb Shlomo, that was the Kalev Rebbe, Zichrono Lechavah. And that's to each and every one of us. To emulate them in such a way. And that's how we could lift up others. Even the Hod Shvahod, even the lowest of low. We could lift them all up when they feel that care and feel that love. But the beauty is that when we show that, then Ani Hashem, then Hashem will be by our side also. Then we'll be Zochet to walk into Shavuos and feel the love of Hashem and be one with Hashem in the most beautiful ways. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be Zochet. Zochet, just give of ourselves. You know, you'll see when you're zoichet to live such a life in the deepest of ways, it's also the happiest of lives. Because so much of the root of the sadness of the world is this desire to always want more and only focusing about oneself. When you're focusing on others and giving to others and caring for others, suddenly you're mevatel yourself. And all that you find is tremendous Sibchas HaChaim. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Shvi Zoicha, Av Yahav Telech Kamocha, and through the Vahav Telech Kamocha, the Ani Hashem, and through all of that, a life of Simcha and Bracha, to Zoicha, the ultimate Simcha, the Gula Shleimah, Mashiach Zekeinu, and Heir of Yemen. M'shehel Yishab is Kodesh.